the officer asked them, do you own a 2003 beige Toyota Highlander? And they're like, yeah, that's our son's car. And he was on his way home last night. The officer goes on to tell them it was found abandoned at the bottom of a 25-foot embankment near Castaic Lake at 5:30 this morning.
My mouth!
We invite you to join us on our hunt for all things spooky.
We're here for the tricks and the treats.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Easy Bake Coven.
Hello.
Hello, birthday girl.
Fancy meeting you here. Oh, 2 days post-birthday girl.
You look wiser.
And, so young still?
No, you look exactly the same, but just with more wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and more elegance, actually, now that I look at you longer.
That's saying something since I'm in this like plaid flannel farm shirt.
It's like a subdued Alaskan elegance that can only be, it's just sort of coming from your pores, really, I think is what it is. It's just coming from your personhood. I'm seeing it. I'm just naming it as
you're just letting us know. Ben was looking at birthday cards and he said there was a section for like, that were specific to ages. Oh, and no. He said, I almost got you one that said 21. Okay. It's like, I would have loved that. Thank you.
They like they started this new thing at Thriftway because they got new checkout systems.
Oh,
Thriftway
yeah.
is the grocery store here. They have to scan your ID. Like, they have to. It will not let them go continue if they don't scan
I know
it.
Where this is going.
And
well, you're like, one of those people.
All these people on the island are mad about it. They're posting about it in like the Vashon Rant Facebook groups. Like,
are you
kidding
me?
This is ridiculous. Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Every time I'm like, oh, you need my ID. Oh my gosh, I know I barely look a day over 21. Thank you.
It's hard to believe. Sure, you can scan it.
Please gasp when you see that I'm 32 years old. Just
is she a nanny? Are nannies allowed to drink?
Ma'am, please don't consume alcohol when you're watching someone else's child.
Especially since you're underage, ma'am.
It's a fake ID. What can I say?
Yes. I laminated it in my bedroom.
Yeah, it's so funny. People are mad about it. I'm like, that just goes to show that you do not have real problems in your life.
I was going to say, that just shows how easy life is on the old island.
Yep. Yep. Too easy, maybe. Yeah. Too easy.
Yep. Yep. How are you?
I am fine. Yeah.
Tired. You are here.
I made it here with a completed script and an alcoholic beverage. So, you know what?
I love that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Winning. That's what we call it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how the episode stats perform, and then we will decide.
Then we'll decide.
How are you? You had a good birthday, it sounds like. But please update our beloved listeners.
It was just a nice, calm, peaceful day. Ben took me out to dinner the night before with my dad and Eloise. It was really nice dinner. Kind of like Bramble House, like just like in a little old house and cute. Like, yeah, really good and yummy. And then the next day he made me breakfast and he gave me a foot rub and he had presents for me and flowers and he made me a cake. And it was just like, I felt...
Well done, Benji.
Yeah, I just felt very taken care of. And I just, you know, I told you this, I just went with Eloise's flow instead of like trying to get a ton of shit done.
Yep.
I didn't answer any emails. I wasn't pushing myself. I just like napped with her when she napped and just.
Amazing.
It was just really nice. Yeah. Just to have a chill, nice day. So
successful birthday.
It's really good.
My gift for you has not yet left Ukraine. So.
Oh!
Sorry.
The day I get it will be my good thing that week.
Yay! Yeah,
so everyone will know.
If you have a slow March, you're going to have a good thing in March.
Can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to be a great day the day it comes. Oh, I'm not. I'm
Matt texted me on the morning of your birthday, like, it's Lisa's birthday. I was like,
excuse me.
I'm aware. I'm waiting until I put eye makeup on to send her a happy birthday video.
I loved that Matt posted a picture of all of us. I was like, wow.
He's like, did you see my post? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, I just love that one. That was so good. He really misses you guys.
Wasn't that in Russell's little car camper tent thing? Yeah. Yeah, my hair was so blonde.
You all need to come in here.
Yeah, everyone needs to climb now.
Into this.
Remember how
tent.
Hot it was in there?
Yes. I remember it well.
So hot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we packed it up and never saw it again because it was so fucking
hot.
It's
in my garage. Yes. Disassembled.
Genius. What do you got for us tonight?
Okay, so tonight we are going to talk about a missing person. But this is a missing man. But he's a ginger, so it's kind of a minority still.
Do you remember when we had Darren on the podcast and we talked about Hatcher Pass?
Yeah.
Well, he's a ginger.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when we were like first becoming friends, I said something about, well, you know what they say about gingers? Mm-hmm. And he was like, what, that they smell bad? And I was like, no.
No, they have no soul.
I was like, no, exactly.
I was like, you smell bad?
Who says they don't smell bad?
Do you personally have a body odor issue that you're projecting onto all of your fellow gingers?
Sounds like a personal problem, Darren.
Yeah, that sounds like a you problem and not a ginger problem. No offense if you're listening.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Sorry, gingers.
This is one of those stories that I read on like... maybe on like one of those Instagram accounts that like summarizes Reddit posts, or maybe on Reddit itself. I remember it being like a Reddit post though, of like, what is like a haunting disappearance that like you still think about, or like that you really hope will be solved, maybe something like that. And I read it and was like, just went barreling down the rabbit hole, just threw myself down. Like, I don't know, a number of months
ago. Like a semi on a back road.
That's me. I'm going down the rabbit hole. Enthusiastic.
The weirdest analogy I can. I don't
like
know.
Like a semi on a back road.
Semi on a back road.
My son would appreciate that analogy.
So dumb.
All of our, you know what? When Russell listens to this, he'll be like, "Yep, that's exactly what it was." Yep.
Mama, that was you.
Mom,
you
were the semi mama. How does a semi truck fit into a rabbit's hole? How does it go underground where the rabbits live?
It's a giant rabbit.
There's some nuance that you're not quite ready to
to pick up yet.
So it was like, I was really intrigued and captivated. And then it was like one of those, I'm going to cover that on the podcast one day. And then I shared with you. In my brain, I was like, I'm going to do these two missing dudes because I don't think either of their stories are enough to like take up a whole episode. And like did all this research on the first one. And then was like, based on like a Reddit post that I had read that was like all of this really insane details that had kind of been left out of the investigation. But then like the only place I found it was this one Reddit comment. So I was like, I don't think that it's true. I think the reason that it sounded so sensational is because somebody made it up. So then I was like, I can't cover that. No. It's not real. But like thankfully for the purposes of our podcast, this story is kind of crazy. And I think we'll make a delightful episode standalone. So
great. And I have no doubt.
This might be the first time that I've ever spent money on watching something for research purposes.
It's a first for you.
I think.
Welcome. So, welcome to the club of spending money in a dumb way.
Wasting money on
research.
Been
there, done that.
This was only $2.99. Nice. I'd like finish my script, and then people on Reddit kept referencing this episode of a TV show called Disappeared, which I had never seen. But it's like
I've heard of that show.
I think I've heard of it on Reddit.
People like it.
Yes. So I was like, you know what? Let me see if this is easily accessible. I will watch it. So Russell and I watched it together this afternoon.
What did he think?
He has his own theories that I will.
Will you share with us at the end?
Yeah. For sure. Yes. Yeah, remind me too, because I didn't put it in my script.
Okay. Oh, I will.
So I watched a TV show, and I didn't learn a ton, but I kind of feel like I actually got a better sense for like the characters that we're going to talk about just from seeing people, you know, discussing it on video rather than in text. So that's kind of interesting. So tonight we're going to talk about the disappearance of Bryce Laspisa. Have you heard of this before?
No. I have no idea what this is.
His last name has pizza in it. I'm like, let's pizza.
We got to find him. National treasure.
Yes. Beloved. So we will dive right in. So Bryce Laspisa grew up in a suburb of Chicago, Illinois, and he was the only child. I'm going to say was in like past tense. He's missing. But it's just easier that way. He was the only child of Michael and Karen Laspisa. He was a really creative kid. He loved drawing. In this show, his mom is showing examples of like his sketchbooks full of really like artistic sketches. And yeah, he was an avid artist. As he grew up, he really liked gaming. He played a lot of Xbox. Kind of seems just like a, you know, a
normal dude.
Yeah, normal dude, normal upbringing. Their family was super close-knit, and his mom emphasizes this over and over, like in the show, in interviews. She said they had the kind of household where you could talk about anything. She said, I always used to say Bryce was an open book, and he was an open book because I was an open book. Like, that's the kind of family that we had. He could come to us with anything. We would talk about anything. And it was an open and safe kind of household. That's what she says. Kind of impossible to know.
You think differently, well, maybe?
People on Reddit think differently, but I don't necessarily agree with them. So okay. It's kind of like all we can go off of is,
right,
you know, what she says. But like, it seems, I don't know, like, there are lots of photos of them as a happy family. He has this huge tattoo on his arm, and it has a K next to it and an M next to it. And that's for his parents' initials. So
that
kind of leads me to believe he was close with his parents. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a trip to think about, like, say, God forbid, something happens to you or Russell or somebody, and you know what your family is, but then these fuckers on Reddit have all their own theories, even though they've never met you before.
One day someone on a podcast is like, did his mom really love him?
Yeah. Right. And you're like, no, I fucking love my son so much. Yeah, that's a trip.
We'll talk about this later, but there's a Facebook page that his parents run, and they will share when people cover his story, like on podcasts and stuff like that. They'll share it, which I like just discovered today. And I thought it kind of made me like pause, like, oh, they might listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
And then I thought, fuck, I should be approaching every podcast, like every episode, right, that they might listen with that thought. But like, a lot of things are more distant or remote.
I have that feeling, like when we covered Gypsy Rose or when we covered Love is One, I was like, oh, these people are still alive and well, because a lot of you, like you said, a lot of our posts or our stories are in the past, and no one involved is alive anymore or you know, not involved anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing.
Yeah. So it's like
a weird feeling.
Oh, wow. Okay. So sort of like a good reminder of like, she's a human being and she hears what people are saying about her. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to make any kind of derogatory or, you know, like, I don't know, unflattering claim, I probably should have evidence to back it up other than someone's Reddit comment. So we'll talk about the Reddit comments, but I'm not going to give them like a ton of weight because they're based on speculation, I think.
Yeah.
So according to like the family, really close-knit, you know, loving family.
Mm-hmm.
He was well-loved at school. He had a lot of friends. He did well in his studies by all sort of accounts from his family and friends. Like, good kid. You know, like, good, well-loved kid, normal, loving family. Michael and Karen decided that they wanted to relocate. So after Bryce graduated from high school in 2012, they moved to Laguna Niguel in Southern California. So that's in Orange County, kind of close, like, really close to the water. Like, you know, Laguna Beach, the TV.
Yeah.
There was a TV show, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, right there. Really nice, affluent area, like, a nice area. So I'm just going to assume, based on the fact that they were living in Laguna, that they are a family of means. Like, they had...
Yeah,
you know, they had resources. It worked out well because while they were relocating to Southern California, Bryce was attending Sierra College in Rockland, California, which is outside of Sacramento. So maybe like five to seven hour drive away. Yeah, okay. Something like that. Not super, super far. You know, I looked it up and it's kind of funny because it's a community college. So it's kind of interesting to me that somebody would move to a new city to attend a community college. Like, in my mind, if you're going to move to a new city to, like, have the college experience, you would probably go to a four-year program. If you're going to go to community college, I just picture you, like, living at home, like, you know, I don't know, saving money.
I know that Katie, you know, my Katie, she went to Santa Fe Community College, which is in Gainesville. And I think the purpose was to transfer over to UF.
Yeah.
So I think that was her end goal. I don't know why she did that. I'm sure she's told me at some point. I don't know if it was
like a lot of people I knew who were transfer students were like, oh, it's way cheaper to do your first 2 years, get all your general ed stuff out of the way at a community college or a junior college, and then transfer to a four-year program. You still get the degree from the four-year program, but you saved a lot of money.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. So maybe that's what he was doing.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure. Did he not get into a four-year program? I'm imagining they could afford a four-year program.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting, like moving to a new state, you know, going to school and moving to like a new city by yourself, living in an apartment to go to a community college.
Yeah.
But I might also be reading more into it. I don't know. So he started studying at Sierra College and he was studying graphic and industrial design.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. By all accounts, according to his friends and family, his first year of college went really well. His grades were good. He was happy. He moved in with a man, a guy, named Sean Dixon, and they became really good friends. They were super close. They lived in an apartment together, I think. And he met a fellow student named Kim Sly, and they started dating. And
Sly.
Yes. Mm. Isn't that funny?
Bad news.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch out for Kim Sly. Mm. She doesn't factor into the story like a ton. But there's one Reddit comment that said she had a boyfriend before him who died by suicide.
Oh.
Which, if so, I don't know. Weird.
Like horrible luck for Kim. She has
bad luck or,
yeah.
or Sly's a black widow. No, I don't think that's true.
Okay.
So we started dating this girl named Kim Sly, and his mom, it was really sweet in the show. His mom talks about how she remembered when they became Facebook official. Aww. She's like, oh, for the teenagers, it's real when you become Facebook official. It's true. So I remember they became Facebook official. Yep. And it was a big deal. And she was like, it was really important to me that he was a good boyfriend, that I like raised him right Aww. To be a good boyfriend. And he was yeah. like, you know, there were all these sweet photos of them together. And like, it, you know, she says he was a really good boyfriend and yeah. like a sweet partner to Kim. According to their friends, he was funny. He was well loved. He really enjoyed his life in Rockland. And when he finished his first school year, he went home for the summer to be with his parents, or I guess to their home down in Southern California. And he told everyone he was really excited to continue with his classes in his sophomore year. He was really looking forward to going back to school. Things were maybe not going as well as he was representing.
Oh, really?
Kind of difficult to say. Especially because the main source is his parents, who maybe seem to not want to speak like ill of him. Kind of like maybe a little tricky. According to both his roommate and his girlfriend, he had a drinking problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah. One article that I read talked about the changes that Sean, the roommate, and Kim were seeing during the summer of 2013. But he had spent the summer with his parents in Laguna and had only returned to Rockland 2 weeks before classes started. So it was like early to mid-August, maybe. So I'm not sure if like this behavior was new and suddenly, you know, these 2 weeks before classes, he was getting like crazy rowdy.
Crazy, yeah.
Or maybe that had been going on for a while, like they'd noticed it last, you know, right. the previous school year, but it was getting worse. His dad made a comment about like a couple issues, some like issues that they'd had in the past, but it was nothing that wasn't typical of teenage boy behavior or something like that. And then I read a Reddit post that sort of referenced like his past issues with drinking. So I think maybe it wasn't like a brand new thing that he had a drinking problem.
That's sad.
Yeah. What I did think was kind of weird though, is that he would spend the summer with his parents and they wouldn't notice anything if he was drinking to the point of the people immediately around him finding it to be a problem, like that he would be sort of binge drinking, then go home for the summer, be totally fine, not have any issues, go back to Rockland, be binge drinking again. I don't know. So I mean, just that's kind of
like, this wasn't my college experience, but that's a lot of college students' experience.
This is
like,
true. This is true. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. People like party pretty hard, especially freshman year.
Yeah. Like you don't know your boundaries yet. You don't know your Yeah, you're just
you finally have freedom. You're out of the house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I never really did that.
Same,
but like a lot I know they did. Of people around me did. A lot of people around me did that. So according to Sean and Kim, he was drinking heavily, very frequently. He was drinking hard liquor every day.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes drinking as much as 2/5 of alcohol in a single weekend. Like
what is
hard
that?
Like booze. Oh,
two fifths.
A fifth is like a big bottle.
He's drinking two of those?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Oh like my
so
God.
Two. Uh-huh. Yeah. A lot of alcohol.
Proof that Elise did not do that in college. I don't know what a fifth is.
I'm like, 2/5 of a bottle, that's not that much. And what a weird fraction to use to describe. No. He was drinking two separate bottles that were
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. A lot of alcohol. Mm-hmm. He also started taking a medication called Vyvanse. Have you heard of it before?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but it's couldn't tell you what it
like
is.
It's kind of like Adderall. Okay. And technically speaking, it's an amphetamine. It's in that family.
Oh, wow.
But it's used to treat ADHD. And okay. I had never heard of people abusing it, but it sounds like it's a thing.
In the like same way that people can find any way to abuse it, anything. If there's a will, there's a way. They will find it.
Yeah. And I knew people who used to take Adderall to like write papers in college. Mm.
I know like someone who is very addicted to Adderall. And it's really very rough. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's scary because you're not if you're not supposed to take it, it can be really harmful.
Totally.
As I take a little swig of my drink, I'm like, just pause there while I chug.
Let me have some cider to get through this.
I'm like, I'll just take a bunch of big gulps so that I can continue. Are you drinking tea again?
Oh, I'm drinking water. I feel like so sorry.
Water?
I had pie after dinner, okay. And I just felt like
so gluttonous.
I had a lot of sugar on my tongue. You know, we've talked about this.
You and your sugar tongue. They call me sugar tongue as a compliment, Elise.
I need that as a bumper sticker. That's my tramp stamp. Sugar tongue.
Sugar tongue.
That's a really good one.
I love that. Your lesbian alter ego.
I'll take it.
Okay, so some of the possible... Oh, so apparently he was taking Vyvanse because he wanted to stay up all night playing video games.
Oh, God. Okay, Matthew.
And if you take it, I literally was like, my husband does that without any medication.
Come on. Lightweight. Yeah.
A real man leaves his wife to sleep alone every night.
Just does it on his own.
Just does it on his own from pure, I don't know.
He doesn't need any video game Viagra.
No, he is just going in there. I was going to say stone sober, but Matthew is not sober.
Cold turkey.
Just beer. Just drink a few beers. You can stay up all night playing video games, apparently.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he was taking this... like essentially like Adderall like medication to stay up all night playing video games. Not great.
Man.
Some of the possible side effects of Vyvanse include the sort of long list of typical, you know, the things that play at the end of most commercials for pharmaceuticals. Nausea, vomiting, headache, weight loss, restlessness, trouble sleeping, which is crazy because I have a friend who just started taking Vyvanse for ADHD and she has been documenting that process on Instagram, like just talking about it to sort of...
Yeah,
like normalize,
destigmatize it.
Yeah, exactly. To like destigmatize these kinds of conversations, and she has been having insomnia because she's been taking it.
Oh no, bummer.
So they're like adjusting her dose and like I think time of day that she takes it and stuff like that. I just thought that was kind of funny that I'm like, oh, I know someone who literally is suffering from the side effect that he was using this medication for.
It's funny, a lot of the things you listed, I was like, oh, that sounds like what you have when you have a baby. I'm right there with you.
Yes, I know how he feels. So some of the rarer side effects include depression, hallucinations, abnormal thoughts and behavior, and suicidal thoughts.
Oh, man.
It's also warned that you should limit alcohol use while taking this drug, which he was obviously not doing. Yeah.
Also, let's state for the record again, he was taking this to play video games.
I literally wrote, to be clear, he was not prescribed this medication, was buying it from someone and definitely not taking it as prescribed.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Mm. It's dangerous stuff. I feel like people don't, especially when you're young and your brain isn't fully formed yet. You're a young dude. You're like, whatever, I'm invincible. I'll just do it. And it's like your body can't actually handle that, though. There's a reason you're not supposed to do that.
Totally.
Strangely, this is kind of strange. So his mom said that after the first day of school, which I think was Tuesday, August 27th. This is 2013. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. His mom said that after the first day of school, he called her around 5 p.m. and checked in. And she said he sounded great. He was excited about his new classes. He was doing well, whatever. Like, first day of school went well. Everything is good. This is in direct contrast to what Sean and Kim were observing, which was that things were getting really, really bad and his behavior was getting increasingly erratic. Like the alcohol use, the stimulant use, and his behavior was getting insane. So on Wednesday night, Sean, the roommate, calls his mom, Karen, and says that on Tuesday... the same day that he'd apparently called her and said everything was fine, Bryce was acting really strange. He gave his Xbox to Sean. He's like, here, I want you to have this. And then he gifts him a pair of diamond earrings that Bryce's mom had given him. And they were
did
like
he
hers
wear
from
earrings?
A long time ago. Yeah, he had pierced ears. Oh, okay. So they were like diamond earrings, like diamond studs.
Studs, yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, but they're sentimental, valuable, expensive. So he's like giving away his belongings, gives him his Xbox, gives him these earrings, and then sent him a text saying, I love you, bro. Seriously. You're the best person I've ever met. You saved my soul.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Sean calls his mom and is like, I'm worried about him. This is what's happening. And she's like, what? He doesn't give away his stuff. Like, what are you talking? This is crazy. What are you talking
Especially
about?
Especially not his Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that he's abusing drugs to play all night.
Right.
He also had texted Kim saying, you're better off without me.
Oh,
and
Lord.
When she was like, are you breaking up with me? Like, what is this? He was like, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm breaking up with you. So they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this has gone from bad to extremely worse very, mm-hmm. very quickly.
I'd say.
That same day. So that all happened on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Sean calls the mom to be like, this is what's going on. Also on Wednesday, he drives to Kim's house in Chico, which is like 90 miles north of where Bryce was living. And he told her that he needed urgently to speak with his parents. And he was being like erratic and just like acting not like himself. And he was upset and just like acting really strange. Kim was really concerned that he was not in a good state of mind. So she took his car keys and called his mom.
Good
and
for
was
her.
Like, I'm really worried about him. He's acting really strangely. I don't think he should be driving. I don't think he's safe to be driving. I don't think he has like a clear mind right now. I'm really concerned. Bryce is like, give me the phone, let me talk to her. So he gets on the phone and he tells his mom, she's just upset because I just broke up with her and she doesn't want me to leave. So that's why she's saying all this. I'm totally fine, mom. Like, I'm okay. And Karen later said that what she had said to him was, Bryce, I'm worried about you. Let me fly up there tomorrow. I'm going to come up there and like, we'll sort this out,
right.
You know, just like go home and let me fly up there. And he said, mom, no, don't make any airline reservations until I talk to you because I have a lot to talk to you about. And she's like,
oh no,
what the fuck?
Don't tell me this is the last time they talk.
No, they talk a few more times.
Oh God, thank God. Okay.
So Bryce maintained, I'm fine. And apparently did so convincingly because Karen says to Kim, give him his keys back. He's fine. You can let him go. He can drive. Yeah. Which, especially after she's already gotten a call from the roommate that's like, hey, something's up. It's like, right. Okay, now his best friend and his girlfriend are both like, I'm worried about him. And she's like, he's fine.
The mom didn't know he was taking Vyvanse, right?
No.
Okay.
No. No. Allegedly, like, this was all a total surprise to her. So he leaves Kim's house at 11:30 p.m. and he told his mom and he told Kim, I'm just going to go back to my apartment. And Karen said that over the phone, he sounded totally normal. He didn't sound distraught. And she said, just go home and go to sleep and we'll talk tomorrow. Okay. The next morning, which is August 29th, Karen wakes up to see she had a missed call from Bryce in the middle of the night at like 1 a.m. But she just figured it was him calling to say that he'd made it home safely because he left Kim's apartment or her house, whatever, at like 11:30 at night. So she's like, okay, that must have been him calling to let me know that he made it home. And she didn't really think too much of it. But later, the cell phone records showed that he was an hour away from his apartment in the middle of nowhere, like up in the mountains when he called her. Yeah. And to this day, no one knows what he was doing there, like why he'd gone there.
That's bizarre. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The mountains of California.
Yeah. It wasn't until 11 a.m. that day that Karen and Michael received a call from State Farm, their insurance company, letting them know that Bryce had just called roadside assistance earlier that morning from the vehicle because they pay the car insurance. They pay for the car. So Karen calls Sean, the roommate, and asks if everything is okay with Bryce. And Sean's like, Bryce never came home last night. I don't know if everything's okay with Bryce. Yeah. They go online and they look at their credit card information because I guess his credit card was in their name or under their account or whatever. They had access to his online banking and they see there's a new charge in a town called Button Willow, California, which is about halfway between where he lived in the Sacramento area and where his parents live in Southern California.
Oh, man.
So Mike traces the credit card charge to Castro Fire and Truck. Fire and Truck? Is that right? No. Castro Tire and Truck. I just did a typo. I'm like, that doesn't make any
sense.
What
is that?
That's not the first time that I fucked up with a typo and then said something stupid. Well, I'm going to leave that in so that people know I'm human and I make mistakes.
We're relatable.
Traces the credit card charge to Castro Tire and Truck, which is right off the freeway. So Mike calls. He calls this place. Yeah. And the man on the phone is this guy named Christian, who is an absolute angel. Like, they just happen to get the right guy on the phone. He calls and he explains, like, I'm assuming, it doesn't say anywhere, but I'm assuming they're trying to get a hold of Bryce at this time and they're calling him and he's not answering. Sure. And that's why they're sort of, you know, exploring his other ways of locating him. So this guy named Christian is like, oh, yeah, like around 9 a.m., I delivered 3 gallons of gas to Bryce because he'd run out of gas. He was on the side of the road.
Wait, the angel's name is Christian.
Yes.
I never thought of that. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. Guess I believe in God again.
Guess so. Don't cover up your tattoo.
Get rid of that Baphomet I was going to put right next to it. Whoops. Take another little chug of my drink. It's a lot easier for me to drink a lot when it's your week because I'm listening more.
Yeah.
I have more opportunities to drink.
If I only really not had that pie, I would be chugging.
Yeah, you're losing out, Elise. This is your one chance. It's okay. I'm not going to shame you for not drinking.
Thank you.
Especially in dry January.
Especially obviously in this episode where we're talking about Vyvanse and drinking too much.
Yeah, like substance misuse and abuse. Whoops. So Christian says, yeah, at 9 a.m., around 9 a.m. today, I had delivered 3 gallons of gas to Bryce. He'd run out of gas on the side of the road. So I went and helped him. So his parents assume, oh, okay, he like wasn't thinking, whatever, he's a teenager. He ran out of gas. He must be on his way. And I'm assuming, again, that they were trying to get a hold of him. And he just wasn't answering. Ugh. I'm guessing that Christian could tell how worried and scared they were because he offered, do you want me to go check and make sure that like he's good? I'll just go back. It was just down the street. I'll make sure that he's not still there and like make sure he's not having any other difficulties if you're having a hard time getting a hold of him.
That's so nice.
Like, that would be amazing. Thank you. So Christian drives back to the same spot where he'd found Bryce and the car was in the exact same spot.
What?
And I think this is like around noon. So it's been like 3 hours since he delivered the gas to him.
Oh no. I bet his like heart went into his stomach.
Yeah. Yeah. So Christian goes up to the car and Bryce is sitting in there just like.
Oh, what?
Sitting. Yeah. Yeah. Just sitting there. And alive. He said his eyes looked red, but he's just sitting there. Yeah.
That's haunting.
So creepy. Oh, just wait. It gets so much worse.
Oh, no.
So he calls Karen. Christian calls Karen, the mom, and Bryce agrees to speak with her. And he reassured her that he was okay. He said, yeah, no, I'm going to be on my way. I'll be home at like 3 p.m. And Karen said, like, what are you doing, Bryce? And he goes, nothing. She goes, like, Bryce, what's going on? You're 3 hours away. You need to get gas. You're 3 hours from home. Just come home. Like, just like, you know, like, what the fuck?
Bizarre. Kind of.
And he's just like, kind of, I don't know,
like flat dazed and or confused checked out almost?
Or maybe. But like, what? Like, I'm not doing anything. Like, yeah, that's the whole fucking problem. Like, drive home. What's
Who
going on?
Who sits in their car for 3 hours not doing
just
anything?
Sitting there staring ahead. Yeah,
that's
not good.
Bizarre.
His parents anticipate that he's going to arrive home around 3 p.m., but of course that time passes and there's no sign.
Man.
She starts calling over and over. Around 3:30, she said she starts calling and leaving multiple messages and he's not answering his phone. They call Christian again, but he doesn't answer this time. So at 6 p.m., after no response and not hearing anything back from Bryce, they report him missing with the OC Sheriff's Department. Thankfully, the police, I guess because it's an affluent community and he's, you know, an affluent white boy in college, immediately spring into action, like right away. And they're able to ping his cell phone.
Oh, wow. Like,
really quickly. I didn't know that it was that fast.
Yeah.
And strangely, they find that he is still in Buttonwillow.
What?
He's parked on the side of the road just 8 miles away from where he had last been seen at noon. So he's now been in this town for like 9 hours.
He drove 8 miles down the road and then just stopped again.
Yes. Yeah. I'm assuming maybe he got gas.
Again? Why would he need more gas?
Well, because the guy only brought him 3 gallons. So I'm assuming maybe he like went to a gas station, filled up.
Sure. That makes sense.
I don't know. Or he just drove 8 miles down the road and then pulled over again.
So strange.
It's like so strange. Police officer named Deputy Hernandez responded to the scene, and I think maybe he had a colleague with him also, and they spoke with Bryce. And he let Bryce know, your parents are really worried about you, you've been reported missing. And strangely, they said Bryce seemed totally fine. Perfectly lucid, not in any distress. He said, I just pulled over to blow off some steam. Just needed to sort of, like... You know,
what were you doing for the last 3 hours when you
literally
were
9 hours you've been sitting in this town in your car? Like, how much steam do you need?
Okay,
to blow
at this point, I would be like, you stay right there. Cops stay with him. Yep. I'm driving the 3 hours. Right? I'll see you soon.
Right. Like something
but I'm
is
a control freak.
But like something is obviously very, very wrong.
Yes.
And
you've had two reports from his friends and his girlfriend.
Like, you know, he's giving away his belongings. Together. You know, he just broke up with his girlfriend. Yeah.
Also, I know that hindsight is 2020, yes. And I can't imagine how much mom has beat herself up at this point. But,
well, and oh like God. She said, she felt really reassured by the police being like, he seemed totally fine.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean,
He passed a field sobriety test. The officers get him out of the car. Oh. They do a sobriety test. They say, do you have any drugs or alcohol in the car? He's like, nope. He agrees to have the car searched. They take everything out of the car. They're looking around. And there was nothing weird or suspicious. He seemed totally fine. So they said he was friendly. He gave appropriate answers to their questions. The only thing that the officer said in retrospect, which was kind of strange, was that he seemed really, really hesitant to talk to his mom. They're like, your mom has been calling. Your parents are trying to get a hold of you. And he really didn't want to talk to her. So that's kind of weird. The officer said that he was fine to continue driving. Like, okay, we're going to let you continue on your way, but will you please speak with your mom first? And he finally was like, okay, fine. So the officer actually dialed the number and like pressed call and handed him the phone. Like, here, you need to talk to your mom. And wow. Before he handed the phone over to Bryce, the officer like spoke to Karen first. And she said, is Bryce okay to drive? Like, what's going on? And the officer says, yes, ma'am, I think he is. I think he's fine. So like kind of mixed messages, you know. She's thinking like, what's the best thing to do? Do I go get him? And then the officer's like, no, he's totally fine. You know, he's sober.
Yeah, I mean, I would trust a police officer too, I suppose. Like,
and you're thinking,
you're a pretty good judge of character in this scenario.
If I drive out there and then he starts driving and then we like pass each other, I don't know. She's just thinking maybe it's just easier if I just stay put.
Let
I'm trying
come.
To sort of imagine what would lead them to think, okay, we'll just stay here and we'll wait for him to get to us. Because I kind of feel like I'm in the same boat as you, where I'd be like,
please just
go down
him.
To the police station where I know that you're safe and I'm going to come get you because clearly you're having some kind of a mental health crisis or there's something going on.
This is where I become such an advocate of the Find My Friends on my iPhone. Ben and I use it. I use it with my dad. And it's not out of like, I don't trust Ben. It's just, I'm like, okay,
it's like a just in case
he's been
situation.
Gone for longer than I think, especially living in Alaska. I'm like, where, like, okay, I need to make sure he's okay.
Yeah, that's
and
a good point.
It alleviates my anxiety so much, especially like if my dad, when he's coming home from work from Walmart, and I don't know if I did tell you that he's working at Walmart.
I didn't know
like
that.
He just picked up some fun shifts. Yeah, he just like works in apparel at Walmart to pick
up
some
extra
money.
Oh, I love that. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so when he comes home like at 10:30 at night, you know, I'm like, okay, it seems like it's a little late and I can see that he's driving and he's safe. So in this scenario, Find My Friends would be coming in clutch.
Yeah, yeah. So they could watch and see, oh, he hasn't moved. Mm-hmm. Oh, now he's moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then even if you did start driving and he started driving, you could see where he was on the highway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the officer
Apple, I guess.
Hands the phone over to Bryce and Karen goes, Bryce, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I'm just putting everything back into the back of my car because the officer just like searched it. So he took everything out.
And like very literally, like, no, what are you doing with your life
and
in
she's
this
like,
day?
No,
this
is- like, Bryce, what are you doing? You've been in the same area for 8 or 9 hours. You need to go get something to eat. You need to make your way here. Now you're going to be driving in the dark and I'm worried. Like, you just need to get here.
Wow.
And he's like, okay, I will. One article that I read said that he told his mom he was meeting up with friends and that's why he was stuck in Button Willow for so long. That was the only article that I read that said that. And I didn't see it anywhere else. And it wasn't in the TV show. So I kind of don't think that that's true. I think that it was maybe misreported because it wasn't a news article. It was like a, all that's interesting, like kind of clickbaity article. Mm-hmm. So I don't really trust
that. I just looked up pictures so that I can better so you can picture it. You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he reassures his mom he's going to be on his way shortly and the officers leave. The night continues. Remember when I said before that they had tried calling Christian again before they reported him missing, but he hadn't answered? So he sees this missed call and calls them back later on after the officers have already left. And again, he is a sweet angel because he's like, do you want me to go like make sure again that he's not where the officers found him? Like, do you want me to go check on him again? I think he could just tell that they were really worried.
Nice guy.
And he's just a really good person. And again, good he Christian. Finds Bryce exactly where the officers left him.
Okay, this is getting very suspicious.
Right? It's now been 13 hours that he's been lingering in this random truck stop town. Like, it's not a major city. It's in the middle of nowhere, I'm pretty sure.
But, okay, I know you're going to get into this, but if it's his family... Why head home why at all? Just stay in your college town. Yeah. Why did you pick this little middle of the road nowhere to just hole up?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's nonsensical. And I will get into it, but we don't know. I will not tie this up with a bow. I do not have an answer for you of why he was behaving this way.
Damn it.
There's theories though. There are theories.
Okay.
Christian approaches him and is like, dude, you need to start driving home. Like, you need to go. You can't just sit here for 13 hours. You need to go. And he's like, I'll follow along behind you if you want. Your parents are really worried. Like, let's get going.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
So Bryce agrees and they both start driving. Christian followed him for like 10 miles and then Bryce made it onto I-5. So Christian watches him turn on I-5, get on the on-ramp, go on I-5. And then Christian pulls off the highway, calls Karen to let her know, okay, Bryce is on I-5. Like, I saw him through to the main highway. He's back on the highway. And, you know, he should be good to go. He's on his way. He stopped at 12:30 a.m. to get gas and a soda. But
okay, you don't need to get gas again after 3 hours,
right?
Which is as far as he needed to go.
Yes. There's not, like, I don't know if there's footage of that anywhere. This is another one of those things that I just saw, like, mentioned once or twice, but not like, and here's the, you know, CCTV from the gas station, nothing like that. 20 minutes later, a little before 1 a.m., Karen calls him to check in on him, but he didn't answer. At 1:50 a.m., both parents call him again, and this time he did pick up, but he evaded their questions. He would not give clear answers about where he was. They were like, where are you? He's like, oh, I'm not sure. It's really dark out. And they're like, are there any landmarks? Do you see mountains? Like, what do you see? He's like, I don't know. It's so dark. I can't see. They're like, are there any street signs? He's like, no, there's no street signs. I don't know where I am. And they're like, kind of keep questioning him, like, well, like, what town are you by? Are you close to LA? Like, are you close to home? And he says, my GPS says that I'm going to be home at 3:25 a.m. Don't worry. Like, I'm on my way, which I still find kind of weird because why would it take that long? I don't know. I thought that he'd left earlier than 12:30, but whatever. So I guess they were like appeased by that. They're like, okay. Fine, whatever. He's on his way. He says he's put it in the GPS. We trust him.
I don't know why at this point.
Right? At 2:09 a.m., he spoke to his parents one final time. I'm not sure if they called him or if he called them, but he told them that he was going to pull over and take a nap, which they agreed was probably a good idea because he hadn't slept in like 24 hours at this point. Like, he had been on the road for like, you know.
Which lines up with like kind of Adderall-esque.
Yeah. Yeah.
Medication.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's wired. He's whatever. So they're like, okay, that's a good idea. Like, get some sleep. We'll see you in the morning. So they go to bed. Michael and Karen.
What?
Michael and Karen go to bed, hoping in the morning, you know, he's going to get here. Bryce is going to get here. And this will be a crazy, stressful ordeal, but we'll be able to talk to him and figure out, like, what's going on.
I can't understand what it would be like to live in a brain free of anxiety that way, because
I need to be medicated to go to bed on a good night.
Without any anxiety about the possibility that my daughter might get cancer one day, and that's not even anything that's really happening. So the thought that my daughter's out on the highway and not home, like, I don't know how you live. What is that like?
How do you
sleep? That must be so nice.
How do you sleep? Russ has slept in like 3 or 4 mornings in a row, like for 13 hours he slept. Like sleeping for 13 hours a night, not waking up. And like I like have to almost wake him up in the morning. Like I have to turn down his white noise. And I'm like, oh my God, he has leukemia. He has childhood cancer.
Oh my God, you and I are the same.
That's why he's so tired all of a sudden.
Eloise had a little bruise and I was like, uh-oh.
Leukemia.
This is it.
Easily, yeah, just, easily
we're
bruised.
All dying.
It's cancer.
Yeah, yeah, you know, so you understand my brain.
I got a good night's sleep and got the desired outcome. And I was like, nope, still, it's not good. It's
something's wrong.
These are the final days. I better, like, yep, you know, take everything in that I can of his sweet, beautiful face because
we're all going to die. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how this mom, I mean, more power to her to not have that anxiety, I suppose, because it rules my life. So
at that point, I'd be like, therapy. You go to sleep in your car and I'm going to drive there.
Yep.
And you tell me exactly where you
pull
are.
Over
and
look on at the I-5 GPS. And I'll, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
So the next morning, I don't know if they were still in bed because they've been up all night or if they were on their couch waiting for him, but their doorbell rings at 8 a.m. and they hop up. No. They're like, Bryce is here. He's made it. Thank God. And they run to the door and then it's a police officer at the door.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
It's a California Highway Patrol officer, Chip. You know, like Chip's like California Highway Patrol.
I thought his name was Chip. It's not Chip.
It's like, that's cute. They call him Chips in California.
Like Chip so and Joanna
the dad on the documentary was like, it's Chip officer, you know, da 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 da. I wondered if, So the officer asked them, do you own a 2003 beige Toyota Highlander? And they're like, yeah, that's our son's car. And he was on his way home last night. The officer goes on to tell them it was found abandoned at the bottom of a 25-foot embankment near Castaic Lake at 5:30 this morning. Yeah,
my mouth could not be any wider. Yeah. Wait, it was found at the bottom of a lake?
At the bottom of an embankment, like next to a lake.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
The vehicle was found laying on its side with a broken rear windshield, and the officers interpreted this to mean that Bryce had broken out of the window, like broken the window out after the crash in order to safely get out of the car. Bryce was not in the vehicle.
I'm so confused.
Yes. Well, prepare to continue being confused. His wallet, cell phone, and laptop were still inside the vehicle.
Oh my God.
Two small drops of Bryce's blood were found in the car, one on the passenger seat headrest and one in the back seat. So this may.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
After a 25-foot fall down an embankment? Mm-hmm.
And what they later they hired a private investigator. And the way that she described it in this TV show is that the car fell and landed. I think she said on like the front, like on the front bumper and then fell onto its side. And that's why he had to like kick his way out the back to get out. But I read one place that said the airbag didn't even deploy. And like, that's a really fucked up car if the airbag
didn't deploy.
Not
saying much for the Highlander.
It had to have deployed. It fell off of a cliff. He drove off a cliff. It had to have deployed. But it is possible, and police infer based on the, you know, only two drops of blood, that it's very possible that he only had minor injuries. Because there's no blood outside the car unless he had like major head trauma or internal injuries.
Is it possible that he made it look like he wasn't went out the car, back and maybe. Actually just, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although, well, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
I read one place, but it wasn't in the TV show, that an unzipped duffel bag was found nearby as if he'd opened it to take something out before he was leaving the scene of the crash. So that's kind of weird. And an examination of the tire tracks revealed that Bryce had accelerated while descending down the hill. He'd crashed intentionally.
Oh, man.
So they showed in the TV show, there's like this big lake. It's like 2,200 acres, something like that. Like a big, pretty big lake. And this is like a cliff that's sort of before, like not right up along the shore. But if you're standing way back from the cliff, all you see over the edge is the water. So the detective was like, it's maybe possible that he thought if he drove over this cliff he would land in the lake.
He was just gonna go into the water.
Maybe
Interesting.
But they could see that he'd kicked up like all these, like the tires had sort of dug up all these big rocks, which he was like, the detective was like, that wouldn't have happened if he were in neutral or if he were driving slowly or if this was an accident. Mm. You had to be accelerating. The wheels would be turning really fast to, like, you know, make these tire tracks that they found. Maybe, I don't know, he like dove out or something like that, like jumped out of the vehicle while it was moving.
His
really
car
fast.
never reached the water at all.
No, like not even close.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But they thought maybe he thought it was going to land in the water.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, a tremendous search operation begins immediately. There were officers on foot, on horseback, officers on quads, divers in the lake, bloodhounds, cadaver dogs. The canine search teams tracked Bryce's scent. And this is crazy.
Wow.
So he landed right next to a road called Lake Hughes Road. So they like tracked down Lake Hughes Road, down to the lake, down, it's like a dam, like a water reservoir.
Okay, yeah.
Down, like, across this sort of, like, I don't know, cement area on the reservoir, over to the other side of the lake, and over to the road. Maybe it's semantics, but maybe it's not. Some people say they tracked his scent to a truck stop right there, and then it disappears. Some people say, well, no, they tracked his scent to the road right there, and the truck stop is right next to it. So, I don't really know that it matters if they tracked his scent to the truck stop or to the road next to the truck stop. But they tracked his scent away from the scene to...
to a semi going down a back road.
Yes. Correct. Which is where we started and where here we are again.
Yeah. Solved the case. Done.
But like some people say, oh, did he hop into a vehicle there?
Yep. I'm going to go with that. Yep.
Kind of crazy. Kind of insane.
Wow.
They searched for days, like days and days and days, all around Castaic Lake. I think that's how you say it. Ultimately found no sign of him whatsoever.
That's
the only other evidence that they had was there's like a security camera on Lake Hughes Road, which is the road that he like landed next to, I think. It takes a photo of every car that drives up the road of the rear license plate. I think because it's like a service road, like an access road or something like that. Oh, okay. It's not like a main road. So there's a photo of his license plate going up the road at 2:15 a.m., shortly after he told his mom that he was going to pull off and take a nap. And then, weirdly, there's another one at 4:29 a.m. So he was driving up and down the same road in the middle of the night.
Well, this tracks with his weird behavior in the last town.
Yeah. Just like so strange. So strange. A few days, this is like totally crazy, and his poor parents.
Oh, no.
A few days after he went missing, police receive reports of a fire near Castaic Lake, where he disappeared. They arrive on the scene, and they find charred human remains. And so his whole family, his friends, everyone is like bracing themselves. Like, he set himself on fire. God. Like, some, I don't know. They weren't his remains. It was somebody else. Unrelated.
What?
Homicide, like a male from Los Angeles. A homicide victim.
Oh my God. That's horrible.
What are the odds of that?
That's very bizarre.
And like, did somebody purposely do that because they had to dispose of a body and they thought, oh, this will give me a few days to like, you know, get ahead of this because everyone's going to focus on this missing kid and think it was him.
Like, I mean, it'd be smart. I hate to say it.
Like, just can you imagine his poor parents thinking that his burned up body is there? And like, did he do it himself? Oh, did somebody else do it to him?
Right.
The Lespizas felt like law enforcement must not be doing a good job and there must be more to search or something. Like, there's got to be something, you know? There's no way that he just disappeared into thin air. So they hired a private investigator, and she was in this TV show. But unfortunately, she was unable to find any new information. She wasn't able to...
It's like a needle in a haystack, right?
Yeah. Like, Her theory was that he must have suffered a head injury during the crash, which resulted in him being confused, disoriented, or maybe experiencing some kind of amnesia, which caused him to wander away from the crash site.
Okay. And then what about the last however many years?
Yeah. 10 plus years.
Yeah.
In 2015, Karen and Michael hired a sonar specialist to conduct another search of the lake, but it turned up nothing. And it's a really big lake. I don't know that they've searched the lake in its entirety, but they focused on areas that they thought he would most likely be. And I also read something about, his body would have been found by now. If it were in the lake, his remains, something would have been found at this point 10 years later. So basically the police have ruled out like he's not in the lake. Police offered up their theory of well, there's a couple. The first one is that Bryce took his own life. He ended his own life and died by suicide. His behavior leading up to all of this is, you know, sort of indicative of somebody who's contemplating suicide.
Very erratic.
You know, giving away his belongings, saying goodbye, ending relationships. So that sort of tracks, and then driving his vehicle very purposely off a cliff. They also thought maybe it was possible that he was trying to escape his life and like start fresh, maybe stage his own death and start a new life somewhere else or something like that, trying to escape something. And there's a detective that it's like an LA County detective interviewed in this TV show. And he's like, oh, I don't know. I don't think he's dead. We would have found him like either. Really? Or he said, I don't think he's dead in this vicinity. Like he did not stumble out of the wreck and die in the forest. Like we have searched here so thoroughly that if his remains were in the vicinity of Castaic Lake, we would have found him already for sure. Like he's not in the lake. He's not surrounding the lake. He said, maybe it's possible. He was trying to end his own life and he like stumbled over to the truck stop, got a ride to like a different, more remote area and, you know, took his own life there. So his remains haven't been located, but they think that there's a chance that he's still alive. So the other theory is that he was like wanted to start fresh. There was something he wanted to get away from.
But what was so bad about his life?
This is where the Reddit. Yeah. Sleuths come in. Mm-hmm. All kinds of theories. A bunch of people think, oh, he was gay. And that's what he wanted to tell his parents about. But he just couldn't tell them because they wouldn't be accepting. And so he just like decided to go start a new life. There's literally zero evidence whatsoever to suggest that. Yeah, I was going to
say, is there anything to back that up?
And it's kind of like a fascinating psychoanalysis, reading people's Reddit comments about their theories. Because I think it reveals more about those people than it does about Bryce.
About him.
For instance, one guy who's like, obviously he had a strained relationship with his mother. And obviously his parents were so controlling and he just needed to get away from that. And why did they have access to his car insurance and his credit card and da 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 da? Why were they so involved in his
like
life?
Because he's like 19.
Because they're fucking paying for it.
Yeah,
because the car insurance is in their name.
Right.
And then this commenter is like, my parents were very much the same way. They paid for everything, but then they used it to control me, blah, 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 blah. And like, okay, but there's actually no evidence to suggest that any of that is true. That's your experience of life that you're projecting onto him. There's like there's nothing to suggest that any of that is true for Bryce. That's just your interpretation because you're projecting your own lived experience.
Yeah.
Which like that, I mean, that's what we do, right? We all like, okay, what would I have done? Or why would I do that? Like we all try to make sense of it, but it's just really interesting because there's not a lot to go off of. The only thing that I would say about his parents is that they are maybe a little bit in denial of his issues. So, like, his mom says, there's no way that he would run away from home. There's no way. He never had any problem big enough that it would make Bryce want to walk away from his life. He loved us too much. We love him. Like, there's no way. Basically, there's no way that he had serious substance use issues.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like, but no, he did, though. It really seems like he did. And his behavior is consistent with someone who's having substance
also,
use issues.
Also, maybe the normal Bryce who wasn't on Vyvanse would never do that. But the Bryce who was influenced by Vyvanse would.
Yeah. Yeah. And like one of the investigators pointed out, a lot of serious mental health issues come sort of start manifesting symptoms around, you know, early adulthood. Schizophrenia. Right. Schizophrenia is a little bit later, but like not uncommon for folks to be super well adjusted and then have mental health issues develop as they get into their adult years. I don't know. I thought it was kind of odd. His parents seemed to not want to confront, like, there may be more to the story than we knew. Maybe he had some substance use issues. Maybe he had some mental health issues. That doesn't mean he didn't love you. That doesn't mean he didn't care about you. It doesn't mean he was a bad kid. But that might be a piece of the puzzle that helps us understand, you know, what happened and sort of his behavior.
So do they just think he was abducted or something?
They kind of don't say. They kind of don't really say what they think. They feel like he is alive still. they hope that he is alive still. It's really sad. They run this Facebook group. I mentioned that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And they will post. It's less frequent now that it's been over 10 years, but especially like 5 years ago, they would post constantly sightings. People would see like homeless people, like a homeless man with red hair that sort of generally matched his description. And they would post like, it's in this town. If anyone is able to go investigate, like, can anybody go look? And then all these people following the page would be like, yes, like, let me go look. And there's been some that they thought were like really credible. And apparently one where somebody even snapped a photo of a guy on a bike in Montana or something and was like, I think that's him. And it wasn't him. Someone went and tracked down the guy in that town. And it was a guy who just looked a lot like him. But they, you can see, and like, I looked at his mom's personal Facebook page and it's just like photos of Bryce, reminders of Bryce, like memories of him.
That's heartbreaking.
I don't doubt for a second that his family loves him, continues to love him so much and wants him to come home. It's challenging because they're sort of like, no, there's no way that he would ever leave. There's no way that he was using substances. Da, da, da. And it's like, well, but I don't know, maybe. Either he willingly left or he willingly like ended his life, you know. Or he was taken, but that feels unlikely.
Deny all the weird shit that happened that day.
Yeah. I mean, really, really erratic behavior.
Something was going on.
Yeah. So the one thing that I thought was really interesting, this detective who believes that he's maybe possibly still alive and just somewhere else said, I think that the key to cracking this case is figuring out what he so urgently needed to talk to his parents about.
Yes.
What was it that he needed to tell them? And, you know, they talk about his behavior of like sitting in the car all day. It was like he was mustering up the courage to do something, whether that was go home and confront his parents, but it seemed like he really didn't want to talk to them. Was it courage to leave?
I mean, the gay thing isn't like a bad, it's not a bad theory.
Yeah.
You know,
like there's so many things that it could be, right? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Was he sexually abused as a child and is confronting that?
Right.
Was he realizing that he was an addict and needed help?
Yeah, that's
you know,
possible.
Was he realizing, I don't want to go to school anymore? Like they, like someone said on Reddit, which I agreed with.
Yeah, it could literally be anything.
It could be anything, and it could be something that would, to us, seem really small, but to a teenage brain that's maybe not in the right state of mind, really, really big, you know?
Seems huge.
Yeah, but I do think that's sort of interesting. Like if ever we figure out what happened, it will be either because he's found, you know, dead or alive, or we get some idea of like, what was it that was, you know, weighing on his mind so heavily that day that was causing him to behave this way.
That's so sad and so bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the story of Bryce Laspezza and the very, very, very strange and mysterious disappearance.
Wow, I'd say.
So weird, right?
So weird.
And they're just like going back over and over and he's still in the same place on the highway. And then crashes the car, but then like walks away from the car.
You know, what's funny is the theories that like his parents were so controlling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think if they were so controlling, they'd be like, stay put, we're coming to get you. You know, like
that's what I would do.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, man, I must be really controlling.
Yeah, and like people sort of implying like, oh, all his mom cared about was appearances and this and that. I'm like, we don't know that to be true. No. Maybe, right? I mean, maybe, but we don't know that. Like people are just, I don't know, assuming a lot. It's just heartbreaking.
It is interesting that he didn't want to talk to her when the cops wanted him to.
Yeah.
I wonder what that was
about.
And
that's like the one thing that the officer remembered is this hesitancy to talk to his parents, which does kind of like support that theory, like that there's something that he needed to confront.
Yeah, like a mental block that he wasn't,
and he was mustering up the courage to do something when he was sitting on the side of the highway all day.
Yeah, and he finally just said, fuck it, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, or fuck it, I'm going to do it and I'm going to drive off this cliff.
Yeah.
The giving away his belongings things to me either says that he's considering ending his life or that he's considering like running away and starting fresh or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Another nice ambiguous mystery. Thank you know for I love those. That.
Yeah, it's your favorite.
But she's really trying hard to keep it guy? Like in, you know, the public eye
alive.
Yeah. I had never really heard of this story before until whatever
me neither
know, Reddit comment I saw or whatever.
No, I hadn't either. Yeah,
10 years,
man.
I can't imagine it.
Well, I hope for them that they find him.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be crazy if there's like some sighting posted on this Facebook page and then they go and they see that it's him?
Yeah, that'd be a trip.
She said, I always thought that I was a strong person, but this is a nightmare that you can't wake up from. And she said that she feels like in some ways it would be easier if he had died in the car accident because
right.
then at least she would have closure. But now she has this.
I thought like, about that with the burning bones. Like, okay, that would be horrible.
At least then you would know, you know. And you would have his bones and you could bury them and you could grieve and move on. Like her Facebook profile picture is the word hope written in sand. It's just like,
oh my God. I know. That's heartbreaking.
I
know.
I just feel for them.
Poor woman.
I cannot imagine if that happened to my son one day. I can't fathom it. It's the worst nightmare.
Like I said, I think about those horrible things all the time. Not this scenario,
well,
but horrible things happening to me.
Here's a nice new scenario
her,
for
oh
you to
God.
Stress about. Yeah, no, what okay, about right. 18 years from now when Eloise is in college?
Yeah, she just disappears on the side of the road. I used to look at this subreddit called Medical Gore, where it was just like showing like crazy things that happened like to people.
Rotten.com.
I can't anymore. It makes me... Well, and it wasn't like murders and stuff, and it wasn't necessarily died. Yeah. It was just like
a car crash or like someone's injury from something.
Exactly. Like, or like, you know, a surgery or something weird. And I just can't even do it anymore because it sends me into this dark place of like, what if this random horrible thing that's only happened to three people happens to me or my daughter? Yep. You know, so I shouldn't even click.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Anxiety is harder when you're a parent because it's like now I'm anxious for myself. Yep. But even more so, I'm anxious for this person that
this
exists
person.
Outside of me and I'm not in control
of
that.
But that is part
person.
Of me.
Yeah, but like my heart's over totally. There, but I can't control that body.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep.
That's it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. And one day they're going to leave the house and then I'm not going to know what to do. And I'm going to drive on the side of the road and pick them up 3 hours away so that nothing bad happens.
Yep.
Because I heard this one story about a guy named Bryce LaPisa.
Yep. Russ always says, I'm not going to move out. I'm going to live with you forever. I'm like, fucking fine with me.
Love it.
Little Norman. Little Norman little, Bates. That's fine with
right?
me.
Right. There's me, my dead body up and upstairs on the rocking chair.
When you mummify when me, make little. Sure you wrap me in a nice blanket, please.
And put me in a Christy Dawn dress, please and thank you.
Yes. For all of eternity.
When I was little, I asked my dad, Dad, when I'm 18, are you going to kick me out? Just like randomly. Oh. And he was like, no.
Why would I do that, Elise?
I mean, I did leave at 18 for college, but
of your own volition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. That was heavy.
Sorry.
If there's updates, let us know.
I will set up a Google alert. I've never done it before. I don't know how to do it, but this is enough to make me figure it the fuck out.
I appreciate that. We all appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. Well, of course, I have a missing person to share as well.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. It is a woman. But it is a little Sam Sayers-esque with the Facebook things happening.
Oh, wild.
Yeah. There's equally no information and lots of speculation. So kind of like Bryce.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of...
Lots of people on the internet know what happened.
Lots of people who, claim to have, you know... Mm-hmm. The DL. Mm-hmm. So here's the actual story.
Okay.
Here's the real information. This gal, Ashley, I don't know if it's Turcotte, T-U-R-C-O-T-T-E,
okay.
was last seen in early January in Barnstead, New Hampshire. She's 31 years old. She was last seen at her home on January 4th. And her car was later found abandoned at Barnstead Town Hall. And inside her car were her keys, her backpack, her wallet, and her cell phone. So just like Bryce, interestingly. Yeah. They shared a missing poster with her image. She was last seen wearing dark pants, dark long sleeve shirt, tennis shoes, and possibly a black or blue winter coat. And I guess she was really close with the police department. She would always paint pumpkins for all of the town departments.
Aww.
And so there's a picture of them with this officer, her with this officer and this pumpkin that she painted.
Oh, yeah. I was just Googling her to look at her photo. sweet. Yeah. I don't know why she just looks like a sweet person in that photo.
I know she does. She's 5'5" tall, has brown hair, brown eyes. She has scars on both of her arms, which of course people surmise like, oh, maybe she killed herself because she has scars on her arms. It doesn't say that she cut herself. She just has scars on her arms.
It just says that they were scars.
Yeah, there's a way to reach already.
Yeah.
The Barnstead Police Department actually lit up their flagpoles with the color teal, aww, which was her favorite color. Aww. They have been doing there's really not a lot of information about her missing, mm-hmm, but they have been doing their due diligence to try to find her. They used their dogs, horses, drones, trying to find her. They also held a candlelight event called Light Ashley's Way Home to try to get the news out about her. So, of course, I went onto Facebook, yep, to do a little looking, yep, myself. Yep. And there is there's multiple groups set up to try to find her. There is the Ashley Turcotte Missing Search Updates group. There's the Help Find Ashley Turcotte Official Missing group. There's like one group that was made because they were kicked out of another group.
Already.
Whole thing.
Jeez. Yeah. She hasn't been missing that long. And you guys have already fucked all this, yeah, up. Oh my God.
Exactly. So there are some people who say that they're friends of hers and that she confided in them that her brother had sexually molested her for years. Oh. So they think that the brother has something to do with it.
Oh, wow.
That's speculation. Yeah. Yeah. There's no proof
of that.
There's
no proof of that.
People are linking to a story that the brother was charged with statutory rape when he was 18. But when I read the story, it says that he went to a party, he hooked up with a 15-year-old, which, yeah, okay, 15, 18, yes, technically he's an adult. I know I might get shit for this. It's not like he...
wasn't a violent crime.
It wasn't a violent crime. It was like
consensual,
yes,
but with an
underage.
It was illegal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, that's as far as the story, yeah, you know, the written up story, yeah, goes, is that, yeah, he had sexual relations with a 15-year-old. There's, yeah, nothing about hurting her. That's as far as it, yep, goes. But my point being is, I don't know that you can go from statutory rape to murdering your sister.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He did set up a GoFundMe for this, you know, basically saying they wanted to reimburse volunteers and to help pay for food for people who were searching, uh-huh, for her, et cetera, et cetera. And there are a lot of people saying, like, I bet he's using that money for himself. Oh, yeah. Also, just total speculation. Yep. Her sister posted a video of like a TikTok reel video of her, like her face morphing into Jeffrey Dahmer's face that like a friend had made for her, but like posted it recently, like while her sister's missing. And people are like, that's really in bad taste.
Like the sister's face morphing into Jeffrey Dahmer's face or the missing, yeah, girl's face?
No, the sister.
In poor taste. Your sister's missing. Did you cut her up and eat her?
Yeah.
Why would,
right,
you post,
exactly,
that right now?
Very weird.
Read the room.
Very weird. Yeah,
some weird shit in their family.
Apparently, that's what people are saying. Yeah, yeah. And the family really isn't saying very much at all regarding her case. So, you know, I feel like there's, in these kind of cases, there's so often a witch hunt, yeah, like similar with Sam Sayers, where it was like the boyfriend.
We
did
have
it,
to find someone to pin this on.
I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And you know, like you said at the beginning about, you know, Bryce's case, it would be so heartbreaking if your family was completely innocent and all these people who know nothing about you are jumping down, yeah, your throat, accusing you of molesting your sister and, you know, what have you. So, I mean, he does have some questionable things on his Facebook, but he could just be like a douchey bro. It doesn't mean that he's, yeah, you know, murdering
a lot of
his
people
sister.
Are,
I don't know,
horrible and also not murderers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if the claims are true that, you know, she told friends that he did something to her. I don't know. But what I do know is that she is missing and there are no signs of her. There's pictures of the building where her car was found. And it's just like a little town. The town hall is like an old looking church. And there were cameras, but where the car was parked, it couldn't see that area.
Man.
You have to wonder if the person who parked it there knew,
yeah, purposely
where the cameras were and whatnot. So, anyone with information on her whereabouts is urged to contact Barnstead Police Department at 603-269-8100. And of course, I have joined the Facebook group so that if anything comes
updated
out of it, if there's any more updates, yes, I will share.
Crazy.
How sad. But in the meantime, yeah, I hope that they find something out and that she is safe and well.
Wow.
So there we have
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Wild.
What's your good thing?
God damn it. I was going to ask you first. What is my
sorry, good not thing? Sorry.
What's my good thing? What is my good thing? I had my first class at the gym today.
Oh my God. All we're going to hear about every week is how big your arms are getting. We get it. It's a good thing. My
body is so sore right now.
I bet that's awesome.
I kind of fucked up my back a little bit because I remember when I was like, I'm not going to push it too hard. Definitely did. Well,
definitely pushed it too hard. Yeah.
I like wasn't, I don't think I was going insane, but I was too tired by the end. And so my form was not good. So I was like lifting with my back, you know? But I was like, doing all this deadlifting. Who even am I?
Nice.
75 pounds, which I'm proud of. Like over and over and over, what felt like for 7 hours. But yeah, I survived.
No wonder you overdid it.
It was like really hard and my body was a lot of pain and I sort of like hobbled to my car and I was very out of breath, but I still did it. So I was really proud of myself because I was nervous about going. It's like one thing to go in like a one-to-one training session, but to go to a class with other people. And then with I show up people. And of course it's a mom that I know. And she's like really skinny. She was lifting 125 pounds when she was deadlifting.
Nice.
But Matthew was like, don't you'll compare be there. Yourself. I was like,
no, you'll be there.
That's just
on
my
your own
goals.
Time.
Yeah.
You are on your own journey.
So I like, I definitely could see this becoming my whole personality.
Oh boy. No, I'm stopping you.
I'm not going to become heinous. I might just become jacked. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. It just can't be your whole personality.
No.
But now, like, sourdough, I'm fine with that being your personality.
No, that's the thing.
It's carbs,
as much
definitely.
As maybe powerlifting becomes a hobby of mine, eating will always be my number one
it's
hobby.
It's literally on your arms.
Yeah. Yes.
To write love on her arms is to write food on her arms.
Food on her arms. This is my charity to try and combat eating disorders, to write
Love
food
it.
On her arms.
Write her food on her arms. And she will continue getting food tattoos in honor of the charity.
Literally? I'm like, I should get a cotton candy tattoo. Like, I love cotton candy. And then I'm like, fucking Haley, enough with the food.
I don't know. I think you can never have too much food in any way.
I agree. I agree.
But.
I disclosed to a client the other day that I have a macaroni and cheese tattoo. And she was like, wait, like a block of cheese? I was like,
you're like, oh, let me show you.
Yep. I was wearing a
sweater.
One otherwise,
with
I would
have
been noodle. Like, eh. I was like, yes. She was like, oh, yes. Wow. I kind of thought that it would be like a cool, like humanizing sort of moment. I don't,
instead, she was like, getting a new therapist.
She was like, I'm going to take mental health advice from you. I was like, okay, this is why we're careful with self-disclosure.
I'm cool gal.
I'm not a regular therapist. I'm a cool therapist. I say fuck
cool
and I
therapist.
Have a mac and cheese tattoo.
And a really good podcast.
I do not tell them about this.
Yeah. Good.
That's why I podcast under my first name and my middle name.
Yes, I don't believe
for
it.
For anonymity.
I'm all out there. Like, everybody listen now. I'm it. Fucked up I am.
What's your good thing?
Okay, I have two good things.
Yay!
The first one is that Eloise cut her first tooth today.
So
which
crazy.
Just feels like, finally.
Yeah.
Because she's been teething for what feels
minute.
Like 6 months. Our pediatrician told us their teeth can like move up and down in their gums, which is bizarre to me. And so the
Not
fact
fair.
That it's finally like broken through just feels like, oh, she's just been on the boob so much. And so I'm hopeful that this is a, you know, until the rest of all her teeth come in, which is just going to be hell forever.
I felt like
at least one is coming.
The first one was worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that's
true. You just get used to the hell. Yeah.
The other two good things is that I was interviewed on the radio two times.
For what? Oh my God, I can't believe you kept this from me.
I know. I was saving it for my good thing. I was saving it.
What was it for?
Well, the first one was because I do this mom's group, you know, and I'm like a facilitator for it. Alaska and so peps. We were trying to do like, yeah, exactly. We were doing like a little, you know, outreach for the community to let people know about it. And so I was on it with my friend Amanda and they interviewed us about it. And then it was so bizarre. I literally got off the interview and I got a message on Facebook from another reporter calling to ask me if I would be interviewed on the radio for something else.
For what? So you're literally a celeb.
I know. I did this photo shoot for Visit Anchorage over the fall, and I took this picture of these three gals on bicycles, and they were just, it was this great shot. It was like a fall day, and the lake and the mountains were all blue. It was really beautiful. And they were just whizzing past me. And so I couldn't stop them to get a photo release. And so I, you know, gave it Visit Anchorage the photo, and I said, you know, just so you know, I don't have their permission.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I don't know if we can use it then. And I said, okay, well, I will take to Facebook and I will try to find it. So there's this Facebook group we have called Find Olive the Things, like olive, but nice. Olive, whatever. And so I posted it in there. And within 6 minutes, the girl in the center of the photo was like, oh, that's me. It's like, oh my God,
that's amazing.
Yeah. And cool. So I ended up getting all their photo releases and Visit Anchorage can use the photo and whatever. But this reporter was doing a story on this Facebook page and how it connects so many people. And she saw that I'd like successfully found this person in photo, thought it was a cool story. And so it was just the most bizarre thing to be on the radio two times back to back in literally the span of 20 minutes.
People are like, oh, wait.
Who is this woman?
Was it like, again, immediately? Like the next interview was right after?
No, they were recorded. Well, no, the interview was. Yeah, like I was like, you can call me right now. And so I literally was in the same spot where I'd done the one interview and then did the next interview.
Oh, my. You're literally a celebrity.
Like, who am I?
This is great practice for when we make it. Podcast blows up. Because you're just going to be fielding requests.
Not if, but when. That's right. Well, you're gonna have, I will be the pro radio person.
We'll have like a person that manages those requests, though. Like we won't be reading all those.
And we'll
emails.
Be like, please tell us what your questions will be beforehand so
we
that
need
we
to
can
pre-screen
prepare.
Because we're really sensitive and you cannot ask us about do not ask us about Bonefield.
Yeah. We don't talk about Bonefield.
That is too intimate,
too precious.
We can't go there.
Listen to episode 95 if you want to know the details.
If you want to know about Bonefield, slide into my DMs.
Boning my car. Listen to
and
95.
Not me. Yes.
Yet.
There's always tomorrow. Matthew doesn't listen to our podcast, but I made him listen to that part.
Oh, you did? Margot told me that she loved the Bonefield. She's like, I was just dying listening to the part about Bonefield.
I listened to it and I laughed out loud. Yes. Even though I knew the story. I was like, oh, great story. Can't believe you drove into Elise's car.
Can't believe I forgot that happened. It was just such a wonderful little bit. It feels like it couldn't even be real. It's so stupid and funny.
Yep. Well, it's kind of us. Congratulations on being an Anchorage celebrity.
A megastar. Thank you. You know, heavy is the head that wears the crown, but I'm trying to make it look good. So
I'm going to like find something that you have signed, like a card or something, and just hold on to it.
Sell it on eBay.
The value is only going to increase. I'll tell you that much for free.
I was like, oh, she was like, is there anything else I should have asked you? I was like, oh, no, but by the way, I have a podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't
If you want to hear me say the word fucking dick a lot, then you should listen to my true crime podcast about spooky shit.
I think it's so funny when I, you can tell like who's into this kind of stuff or not, because sometimes I'll just like coyly drop it like into a conversation. Like, oh, my friend and I have a podcast about that. And, oh, that's cool. And then they move on. Or it's like, oh, what?
Like, what? Tell me everything. Oh,
if you don't like ask right away, I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
I'm like weirdly shy about it. Like, I don't tell people about this podcast because I feel... I don't know. First of all, I feel like 95% of people who have podcasts are douchebags, and I don't want people to judge me. Be like, oh, you're another asshole with a podcast.
Oh,
like,
great.
No, mine's actually fun. Thank
mine's
you.
It's fun.
And I'm not self-important.
If I do say so myself.
Right. It's really good, and I'm not arrogant, okay? And I also just feel like almost like shy about it. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I tell everybody. Ben literally went and got a consultation for someone's going to finish his sleeve, his tattoo.
Oh, hell yeah.
Eloise and I were just with him. And so Ben was like, well, just come up with me. Like, who cares? Just come up to the office. Uh-huh. And so we were chatting and I was like, have you ever done any cryptid tattoos? And he was like, oh, I've done one. I don't remember what he did. And I was like, oh yeah, because my best friend and I have a podcast where we talk about cryptids and true crime. And, you know, that. I might want to get one of those one day. And he was like, oh, what's the podcast? I was like, oh, it's Easy Bake Coven. Just Google that right there. Google it. I was like watching him on his computer.
Like, let me just download it on your Spotify.
Let me just send you the link.
I'm just going to give a little rating because I know you're going to love it.
Yep. You're going to love it. Oh, just sign some delivery. I didn't
share Russell's theory about what happened.
Oh, just came to me
because you said something about cryptids. He says, I think maybe he climbed out of the car and made friends with a coyote. When? I was like, he may have. He may have done that.
Maybe, but
that's really interesting insight, Russell.
So is he Coyote Man now? Does he live with the coyotes?
I think he lives with the coyotes, like in the forest. Like now he's an off-grid situation.
I think his mom would prefer that to the to the other scenario. Yeah. So
it's not about, Russell's, you know,
being positive.
Like a bit of a Christopher McCandless, Alexander Supertramp situation.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Satan willing.
We should all be so lucky to befriend the coyotes and live in the forest.
Pretty dreamy. Very cottagecore-esque, I must say.
Just the lack of bathing.
Yeah, not so cute.
Well, there's a reservoir right there. So,
and they can like lick you clean. That's what coyotes do.
You've been in Alaska for too long.
Too long.
Well.
On that note,
like us and our podcast.
All the way. All the way. The thing, tell your tattoo artist about us.
Tell your tattoo artist.
Mm-hmm. Subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, Easy Bake Coven Podcast. Send us an email, theeasybakepod@gmail.com. Follow our website, easybakepodcast.com. Easybakecovenpodcast.com. I forgot that. I took out the coven.
Oh, the coven's the most important part.
Most important part.
It's okay. It's been a long day.
It has. It has.
And of course, don't forget to keep it spooky
and make it sweet.
Happy haunting!